This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Feeling good. You know, it's 13 degrees now. It's also
13? You're happy about that?
Yes, I am, Cody.
13?
And it's sunny outside. The weekend is going to be sunny. 60 on Sunday and Monday. I'm ready to roll, man. Feeling good.
God, I wish I had, like, 60 on Monday. I just want to, like, be out. Can we do the show outside that day? I don't know where. Just anywhere? Can we take this equipment and just like
Sunday? I'm going somewhere on a patio and just gonna watch some random spring training baseball game and have a beer or two somewhere.
Just somewhere outside the sunlight. Mm-hmm. I don't have any particular plans yet, but I imagine I'll find my way outside before that takes place. I'm good to be back.
Yeah, how was the? We'll talk about it more later, but like the snow day. Yesterday I said I picture you just making some grilled cheese sandwiches for the kids, you know, at home, some tomato soup as well, just hanging out by the fire. You know, that's what I pictured you
yesterday. Gotta go full daddy daycare on those days. I tried to arrange some play dates. Like, hey, why don't you come over and entertain my kids? That didn't work out. But I can tell you about the rest of it here in a little bit. Honestly, this is just, I think I am in the position that everyone else is in the city right now, which is, as a parent, you have a hypothetical breakpoint of childcare in which you no longer have childcare available. We're like, you run out of snow days or days that daycare cancels, that you can call an in-law, count on your significant other, you know, whoever, right? Your sibling, your cousin. And at some point, you hit the theoretical limit of like, I don't have anyone left to watch my kid but me. It's me now. Like, you guys have got to go back to school. My kids were excited. They were happy to go back to school today. Desmond put his Valentine's in the front. He said specifically the front of his backpack so he could get easy access to him. He asked me what, you know, he said, can you get, how much, what percentage do you think she's going to like the Valentine?
I hope it works out for you, Desmond.
I do too. I'm a little bit worried that a week off for kindergarten, you know, I don't know if maybe the connection's not the same.
That's right.
You know, someone goes on vacation, they come back, they're not the same person.
That happens. The other reason why I'm feeling good today is because baseball is back. 2:05 today, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Royals baseball spring training game number one. We'll check in with Vern later on in the show as well, around 12:45, as we do each and every day throughout spring training. But that's another reason why you got to feel good, because you know with baseball, that means spring and everything is right around the corner. And somebody that everybody's excited to see at some point during the spring will be Jack Caglione. While he's with the big league club, at some point in a few weeks, they'll send him back down or whatever it is.
But he might still play in some games, but he won't be like on the big league club because he's not starting.
And we hope to maybe have Jack on the show next week as well. There's a chance we'll have an opportunity to talk to him.
There is a bit of a problem for Jack Caglione. Not what he showed in camp or the things that came with it, but there's a bit of an issue. Bobby Wood Jr. is kind of ruined what I would say are normal human being expectations of what a top prospect is supposed to be. Jack Caglione is considered one of the 40 or 50 best prospects in all of baseball. He is 6'5", 240. He looks like a Disney prince. And we're used to all the normal stuff that comes with the hype of a player of this magnitude. You don't get players of this magnitude coming through your system very often. And the last one who came through the Royal system was Bobby Witt Jr., who in his first year was immediately a well above average Major League Baseball player, and by his second year was one of the 50 best players in baseball, and by his third year was one of the 5 best players in baseball. I actually think that this is like a good time now to just set the standard of, he set an unrealistic expectation, and you should start be thinking about how he comes into the majors and how he adjusts to the majors a little different.
The excitement should still be there and all that, but it's just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. People have a high bar. I don't know if anybody's expecting Caglione to, you know, be a MVP candidate in year number two. I hope that's not what people are expecting. I also think for just this year, and no matter what happens in spring training, remember, there is still a small chance that he gets called up later on in the year. Like a fairly small chance that he gets called up. And that's if he has success right away.
Or if an injury occurs in the right position.
And if he has success right away. You know, eventually, yes, he's going to be with the big league club. I think we all are pretty confident in saying that. We're just the type of player looks like he's going to be. But he hasn't even played a year in Double A. He hasn't even been a half season in the minors. He got drafted last year, and I know he was a college player, so in a hitter. So that's,
and a multi-year
and this is why they're not having a pitch, though, because they do want to try to get him up as quick as possible and have an impact on this team or next year's team, because if he was trying to do the pitching thing, well, that delays everything. So I think that's why clearly they have him focusing in on the hitting aspect, and there should be plenty of excitement, especially if he has the beginning of the first month or two of minor league baseball. Imagine if we're talking and we just keep an eye on what's going on in Northwest Arkansas, where we assume he'll start. And if that's the case, and the numbers are just absurd, it'll get louder and louder.
We've had players skip AAA before.
That happens.
And that, I mean, in Adalberto Mondesi spent very, 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 maybe no time in Omaha, if I can remember correctly. That was the guy before. But this is the thing about standard. Because Mondesi did so poorly, I think everyone's expectations on Bobby were more tempered than what it would normally be for a guy who's a top 10 prospect. But because Bobby is the most recent big-time prospect to come through the system, and he was a superstar, you now watch Jack Caglione and you start salivating. You're like, what about a lineup with Indy hitting leadoff, then Bobby, then Vinny, then Salvi, then Jack?
Oh, sure.
Then,
sounds great. No, I mean,
and you start imagining 40 home runs and a .330 on base percentage, you know?
Right. No. The excitement should be there. It's just, you know, temper the expectation in terms of how much you think he's going to impact if he impacts this year's team at all. That's all. And I think that's where it gets, you don't want to mislead people, you know, on what they should expect. Like the first time that a player on this team, because it will happen, even if the team's playing well, there will be a player or two that has an 0-15, an 0-20 streak.
Hunter Renfro,
especially
or whoever.
Let's be honest. Like most likely, it's one of the outfielders.
MJ, that's just, Hunter, that's just the reality.
Melendez. No, I mean, yeah, Melendez. It's one of the outfielders. There's a decent chance at some point, like one of them's got an 0-20 stretch going, and it'll be June. And meanwhile, in Double A, Caglione is hitting the hell out of the baseball, and people will be like, oh my gosh, got to call him up right now. And it's just, can we all agree that let's just try to be a little measured with that? Like a month of Double A baseball doesn't mean that he's just ready to come up with the big league club.
No, but that's also like, he needs to actually hit at the minor league level. If you look at his numbers last year, they don't jump off the page, but the Royals don't care about that. They care about, like, it's not like it's a results-driven business, but just as long as you swing at the pitches you're supposed to swing at, you make contact the way they expect you to make contact. Mondesi flew through the system, even though the minor league numbers were not, like, outlandish. And that, you know, like, look, I'm excited, too. And spring training brings the ultimate amount of excitement because then you're like, oh, I mean, just imagine what could happen. And if I watch Bobby hit a homer and Jack hit a home run right behind him, we're all going to start.
Oh, it's going to happen in spring. I mean, I don't know if you know, like, today's the first game and the lineup's out and everything like that. And tomorrow, we'll see how it goes. I'm assuming in the next week he's hitting a spring training home run. That's just going to be very, very impressive. And that is what, you know, when we look at this year's team, other than a newcomer like Jonathan India, most of these guys are guys we've seen before, right? They're coming off a playoff appearance. The roster didn't change all that much.
No.
India was the biggest change with the trade, Brady Singer and everything. But other than that, honestly, at spring training level wise, when the games are here on 96.5, it's more about some of the future pieces. You know, the Kuderna, who was on with Vern last night on his Hot Stove show. It's Jack Caglione. Those are the guys that'll be fun to get excited about for the future. Maybe they help the team late in the season as well for a playoff push, but this is kind of a 2026 look ahead, if anything.
Yeah, it is. And so, like, yeah, we could have this conversation again next year, like, cool it. Or we probably will have this conversation in July or August if Jack Caglione gets called up. I was trying to remember. I was like, it's been too long. I was like, were Bobby Witt Jr.'s numbers good in the minor leagues? And then I looked him up. I'm like, yep, sure were. Yep, he was real good in the minors. And so, yeah, I mean, I was trying to decide, like, did he get a call up maybe before the numbers jumped off the page? No, pretty much a 370 on base percentage, hitting 300 and stealing bases and hitting a million home runs. Yeah, pretty good. So it turns out.
Someone was asking, is Modesty still in baseball? We looked this up the other day. I mean, is he in baseball? Like, I guess, yeah, he's.
Has he retired? No. Is he on the roster? No.
He's 20. You know, he's 29 years old. I think we looked it up that he's a free agent. I think he hasn't played in the big leagues for multiple years. He got hurt when he went over to the Red Sox, remember, and right away. This is, you know, one page it says current team Boston, so maybe he's in their organization still. I don't know.
Maybe he's not a minor league deal or something.
He hasn't played. Yeah. He's still only 29 years old. That's crazy.
He was feels like he should be. I know, it feels
like
young.
No, you I don't mean that they can turn around. I just mean, like, it feels like he should be 35 at this point because we've been mentioning that name. I mean, we all know he made his debut in the World Series.
Dude, he changed his name like 10 years ago now.
Yeah,
remember he was Raul Mondesi Jr.
That's right.
When he first was coming to the big leagues and in the minor league system, he then started going by Adalberto instead, and it's just like now we're just kind of accustomed to it. It's exciting. This is why, like, baseball's back. I saw the lineup. India's hitting leadoff, Bobby Witt Jr. There's about a half major league lineup, probably half of the starting opening day lineup, because I don't think Nelson Velasquez is going to be in the starting.
And then they're out today. Look, yeah. One at bat. Daniel Lynch will get like one inning or whatever it is today. He's the starter. And then it'll be a bunch of guys we've probably never heard of before. But it's fun. That first inning, when you flip on a 205 right here and you hear that first crack of the bat, maybe hopefully, you know, Jake Eisenberg and the guys, a home run call or something like that, how we get today, that'll feel good. That's going to feel good this afternoon.
According to Annie Rogers, she's pretty good about following this. They usually put up like a little post-it note in the clubhouse that like let you know exactly how it's going to go. Lynch for two innings. Noah Kammer for two innings. Zerpa, Clark, Cruz, Sisk, and Cox could all pitch. So there you go. Your starting lineup. India, Witt, Pasquantino, and Renfro. 1-4. Looks like Salvi's taking the day off.
I think that's okay. I think he'll be all right. I think that'll be. I think that's going to be okay.
Who the hell's O'Keefe, by the way? Anybody know who that is? He's catching today.
Idea. Are we making a bet on this game, you know?
We usually bet a home run, as you well know.
Well, that was the yes.
I feel like betting preseason baseball is like betting preseason football, where it's like,
but
you know, spring training is
the first one of the year, Drew. It's the first one. It's 205. The Royals are slight favorites. All right,
minus the Royals on the money line,
-118. The total for the game is 10.5. So over under 10.5 runs. I feel like we got to put a little something on it. We have the show fund money because we hit on the big parlay 3 weeks ago, whenever that was. I don't know. I'm just saying, do we like the money line? I don't really want to do a money line bet because it's spring training.
Crazy.
It's spring training, and by the time
runs?
You get... I think it's a... Do we think there's going to be over under 10.5 runs?
Is it favored anyway? Or is it just...
Under is -122. Over is -104. Compare it to the other spring training game today. The Rays-Yankees play at noon. That one's only 8.5. So this game they just think is going to be a bunch of runs. I kind of like the over. I just think pitching might not be sharp.
I like it. All right, look, I can be easily swayed into this.
Sure. Drew's over there like, what, are you kidding? Are you kidding me?
I just think it's a little bit...
It's the first one.
Actually, if that's not enough for you, there's 5 spring training games, or at least that you can bet on today. I don't know if that's all of the ones. Why don't we just do a 5-leg parlay?
I was going to say, just go ahead. If we're going to do one, just do all
winners? Just do 10. Just go 10 bucks on, and we'll do the 5. We'll do over-unders on
the runs.
Now, 2 of the games do not have totals available, so we've got to do money lines. But you know, why not? Why not have a fun? Let's do $10 show fund bet. We'll go over-unders on a couple of these games, and we'll do money line on the Dodgers-Cubs game because you can't do a total, it looks like.
Who do we like in that Dodgers-Cubs game? Who's starting?
Go Cubs, because the Dodgers will be great all year, but they'll lose. They'll suck in spring training. So we'll go Cubs.
Probably true.
We'll go Cubs today.
Everybody's going to get the hype up in North Chicago.
Yeah, we'll go. Oh,
they might be good this year.
We'll go Cubs.
Text line saying, can you actually bet on spring training games?
Yes, that's some what we're places, talking about. Yeah.
Degenerate
Fan
behavior,
duel.
But sure.
FanDuel, you can.
Depends on the end, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, if you hop on FanDuel, you can at least 5 of the games.
Or should we just be betting the Royals to win the World Series or something?
We can still do that later.
I don't think I can actually claim that it's degenerate behavior when I bet on, like, EuroLeague basketball on a regular basis.
Wait, you're betting on EuroLeague?
Oh, yeah.
You're calling us degenerates?
No, that's what I'm saying. I fire up. I don't bet a lot. I bet like dollar, like 50 cent, like little bets, like tiny bets.
Are you able to even like? Are those games on TV? Like, why bet on something you can't watch or listen to?
You can stream the games on a FanDuel.
Oh, okay.
On FanDuel,
so you're doing it through the app. I got
or on DraftKings. I think they have the accessibility on some of the on all of them, I believe. Really? Some of them. It depends. If you bet a certain amount, you're able to watch them or stream it. I don't know.
By the way, shocking development. Sources tell me that the Royals TV package pricing will be exactly like everyone else's pricing. Yeah. Like it was already $19.99.
Well, today they're announcing the season pass.
Yeah. They'll have a season pass today. They will, in your season pass, the two games in March will be included. You don't have to pay an extra month for that. Like all the normal stuff, it'll cost what everyone else's cost.
Yeah.
I felt like you and I just beat our head against the wall for like 2 weeks straight trying to convince people it was going to be the same. And I was just like, why did I even argue?
I saw yesterday.
I should have just waited.
I saw yesterday. I think they also, if you're a season ticket holder or a half season ticket holder, you get 2 months. So basically half, 50 games.
Oh, nice.
Free on that FanDuel package as well. If you're a season ticket holder or a half season ticket package, the details are on their website, everything, but I don't know all the details.
It's some partnership with Miller Lite, I think. Yeah.
But maybe in the next break, let's do a fun little five legger just for the heck of it.
Okay. Cool. I'm in.
Cool. You guys good with that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Meanwhile, last night was awesome. I was excited. It was the only time truly in my entire life I've ever said, man, I can't wait till this hockey game is on tonight. That's how I felt.
That'd be like usually Olympics. And in that case, usually the USA doesn't really.
But even then, I don't know, even in the Olympics, short of Michael Phelps or maybe USA basketball or something, there's very few times, even in the Olympics, where I'm like, oh, I cannot wait till 7 o'clock hits tonight. Even though it ended up being 7:30 before that thing really started, like any other sporting event. U.S., I don't know if you guys know by now, obviously the U.S. ended up losing in overtime to Canada, but what a night and what a 10-day stretch for hockey. I'm not a hockey fan by any means. I've been to a handful of NHL games, and that's only because I've gone to two in the last 12 months. Otherwise, I had never gotten an NHL game in my life. And the buy-in from the players is why this all worked, right? It didn't hurt that between U.S. and Canada, there's obviously stuff outside of sports right now that has also increased the rivalry.
So they're all booing each other.
I get it. That it's been this perfect storm to put this thing together. But the NHL absolutely nailed it with this Four Nations face-off. And then last night, I mean, the commissioner, Gary Bettman of the NHL, must just be walking around with his chest puffed out today, because they could not have dreamed up a better scenario. The players bought in over the last 10 days. It ended up being a U.S.-Canadian final. It goes to overtime, and unfortunately, Canada won. But it was just perfect. And the question is, can any of the other leagues replicate that? Because the NHL has figured it out. And I know a lot of this has to do with they're having the players play in this, because starting in the Olympics, next Olympics, the Winter Olympics, NHL players will start playing. That's not happened before. They'll represent their country in the Olympics.
That never made any sense to me, that for the longest times we're like, these are the people who are the best at what they do and they can win a gold medal for doing it. And then for 30 years, we didn't even send NBA players. We just sent collegiate players to go play, or we sent non-NHL players to the Olympics. No, it's the Olympics. If these are supposed to be the best players in the world, the NHL possesses the best players in the world. That's who I want to see in this. The most impressive thing to me about it is that they made an all-star event in no way feel that way. It just in no way felt like I was watching an all-star based event. They had a sold out crowd. Everyone was hyped. The crowd's chanting USA.
It was awesome.
And they were the whole moment obviously felt completely opposite. The problem is that the question I will always ask is, are we cool with it this year? And we felt hyped and in, and this, can this last forever? Am I entertained by the nations hating each other forever or being at odds forever? Does this always work? Do you have to continuously reevaluate? Because we know next year now, the NBA All-Star Game, which was way down in ratings again, they'll probably do countries, which people have talked about. USA versus the world will be the game, right? And then maybe you can create a little buzz. But unless they're going to start playing defense,
some of it's an effort thing.
To play an actual basketball
game. It really
is
all the effort thing, I think, because
that was the PK Subban was on. That he kind of
first take, I think.
First take, and it went viral yesterday. Some of his comments, and it was about that very thing, Cody, which is, you can walk on an NBA court and basically, I'm paraphrasing, half-ass it.
You can tell when they're half-assed.
Hockey, you can't be on the ice in cover up you not giving a bleep.
Everyone will know you're not skating hard.
Yeah. And so there's truth to that. So that's the big question for the NBA and these other leagues. I mean, for hockey, that's why it worked. They literally made up a fake tournament.
and all mm-hmm. of a sudden in this they made up
and then
this
pitted fake, countries against each other, which
they
is smart.
Got a medal that didn't even exist, you know, a year ago, a trophy that didn't even exist a year ago, and all of a sudden everybody cared, and the players, nobody can deny the players absolutely wanted to win that thing last night on both sides.
And like the setup on it is so funny too, because like the two U.S. goals were for both the Ottawa Senators player, and so you're like, damn, if you're a Canadian, are you like, you're like, if you're a Senators fan, you're a Canadian, and you're just like, damn it. They're like hurting my country, but I'm proud of my guys.
Now that happens in the Olympics, though, with like soccer players all the time, right? Or the World Cup. They're on a Premier League team, but they're on
World Baseball Classic against the U.S. Sure. Yeah, those things.
I also think there's a level of accountability that you see maybe in hockey that you wouldn't see in the NBA now, where it's very much a single player driven league. The NBA is where hockey, like if you could tell that somebody was giving half an effort on the rink, on the ice, I think a player would get called out for that. Like simply it would be a, yeah. I'm going to level this guy or whatever the case is. Where in the NBA, you don't see anybody. If somebody's half-assing, you don't see guys like, hey, come here, I'm trying to take you on right now. Like, let's go one-on-one. Let's go solo right here. ISO you up. Even though there's five players on the floor, there's nobody calling anybody out for not giving an effort.
But this is part of the thing that we don't want to mention that actually does matter for this. The highest paid player in the entire NHL makes $13 million a year. If you're an NBA player and you go all out in an all-star game, you could be costing yourself $400 million. Like,
yeah.
It is hard to be like, hey, Joel Embiid, step out on the court, give it your all, risk your knee pain and all the other stuff. Whoever it is, not him, but like whoever, and say, give us every last ounce of energy. I mean, they just lost one of their young superstars, Wimby, to the entire year because of a blood clot. You want him, a guy who could get a supermax 3 years from now to risk his health? Highest paid NHL player makes $13 million.
Well, and last night, one of the players had an injury that's he's going to miss NHL games after the break because he was playing through an injury until he really couldn't. That's why he didn't play in the second half or the third period of the game last night. So it was awesome. Like, and I think all three of us, none of us claim to be huge hockey fans or anything that. Watch very, very casually, but I was excited. Like, I truly was made sure I was going to be around a TV at 7:30 last night to watch it. It lived up to the hype. That's the other thing why it worked. It's not often that a sporting event or any type of event period lives up to the hype. Like, there's always build up, and ESPN was building the heck, building it up like crazy all week, and it lived up to it. We got an overtime game 2-2. It was incredible. Obviously, wish the U.S. would have won, but it was. And tickets were going for $1,100 for bad seats. Some were averaging out at $2,500. It was cool. It was really, really cool.
Does the NBA All Star Game sell out?
Oh heck no. Oh, so I watched. Okay, so I watched a little bit of it, or I had it on a side screen on Sunday.
That was the finals day, right, for them? The championship game?
Yeah. Okay. It was not sold out. So, I mean, Saturday night also was not sold out either. It didn't seem, because what they tried to do was make it a lot about Vince Carter, because it was the first that it had been in Golden State since Vince Carter did the dunk contest. All of it was hyping him up. There wasn't, you could just tell, like, in the difference of crowd noise, buzz, the people who are excited to be there. There was no buzz at all surrounding the game. And I think part of it's the lack of proper marketing for the NBA. But also, when you don't have your stars participating in the big events, like even hockey, I don't think they had like any of the skills challenges that they normally do, because the whole thing was just the four nations face-off.
Which
idea.
Worked.
Yeah. But when you have your stars in the game and people identify with them and they know that there's an effort there, they're representing the country, there's a little bit of extra juice that's there other than, hey, you guys get $1 million. That really doesn't mean anything to you because you guys make so much money anyways and nobody wants to do any of the skills challenges either. It was not a very good look at all for the NBA in comparison to how the NHL just knocked out of the park.
If you can't even get your stars, the dunk contest is the biggest example of that.
Yes.
You have to convince the stars of your sport to complete in that. It can no longer be the Mac McClung show. You need LeBron.
Mentioned the money. Like they have offered money, and it's just sport. Not enough because of how much they're making.
And honestly, and I don't know if this is a lack of competitiveness. I think some people might call it that. But if everybody in the league is saying a G leaguer is better at dunking than you, and you consider yourself a very good dunker, why not say, you know what, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna show just him that I am actually the better dunker. Which again, like you said, Cody, they don't care enough, which I think maybe is an NBA problem in general anyways. Forget the All-Star game. It's just the games in general.
The other thing, I was watching a little bit of ESPN's post-game kind of coverage of the hockey game last night, and
we hear this a lot in usually it happens with Olympics and things like that, but if you're trying to grow your game, I mean, that was the last 10 days was incredible for hockey. You know, is there a kid out there that maybe never had interest in playing hockey, but all of a sudden the last 10 days his dad or mom had it on TV, and all of a sudden now, like, you know, people talk about Lake Placid, the Olympics and everything, like that caused a whole new generation of hockey players and hockey fans. Like, there's, we'll find out over time if this is something that did that, but that's the other part. What a win for just the sport of
hockey.
They've
done better at, like, the, because, like, baseball's most recent success is, like, the Field of Dreams game, right? They have Kevin Costner awesome. Stand up there, and people are walking through the corn.
Or the thing last year, Rickwood Field.
Yeah.
That was really cool, too.
Like, doing those a couple of times, they've done a decent job lately. Hockey's been more at the forefront of being able to do this. I'm going to guess that every single sport is going to ask themselves the question, which is, should we do our All-Star game as a us versus them? Right. The other part that I feel like they could do is, how come anybody in, like, basketball hasn't made it up so, like, people get picked last? Make it like gym class.
You want it to be like actual pickup.
Yeah. Make it like gym class. Yeah, I got Durant. Come on, man. We're over on this side. And then at least we have other things to question. Like, why would you build your roster with, like, four bigs?
But they have done the pick thing, though. They have done that. That was gimmicky. They tried that for two years, didn't they?
To Cody's point, so they did a draft, but it was weeks before. What they need to do.
Play, I'm saying, like, you're standing on the court. Play in the court. Like, five guys stay in the court. You lose, you get your ass off the court.
This goes back to why players, whether it's the money or why they won't do the dunk contest. There's also a little bit of, like, it's the ego, too. This is why the whole, frankly, what we're talking about is a greater problem with NBA players, basically, is what some of it is. I mean, that's part of the problem and how they go about their business. I'm not saying that if I was making that kind of money, I would want to do the dunk contest either. I'm just saying, but that's the issue. And I don't know how you fix that if you're the NBA.
If you love the sport, though, like, I think that there are some players who love basketball, but if there's a lot of players who love basketball, but if you love the game enough, I think you're willing to participate in these events because the game means enough for you and you want to promote the game in a positive way. You want to show people that it's fun to play basketball, that we're one of some of the best in the world. Because I think, to this point, Kobe, I don't think would stand for any of this, like, the half-ass stuff. LeBron is taking himself out of a game.
Yeah, when he's doing it, you're exactly right.
It was really embarrassing, I think, because there's guys who are killers who would say, I'm playing in this game, and I'm going to make sure that I dominate this game, and you're going to look sad in this game.
I think you're 100% right, that if the face of the league is willing to just be like, you know, then how are you supposed to expect the next generation
night, like,
of young
minutes.
Players? Yeah. No,
your leg was fine. Your groin was fine, LeBron. It was okay.
All right, coming up next, let's get back to the Chiefs, though. And we hit on some comments from Jeff Schwartz yesterday, but I want to dive deeper into the left tackle specifically, including some numbers that are very telling about developing tackles.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the NFL. Thank you for this, Drew. Thank you for this. You guys know, just thinking of Space Jam right away. I'm ready. Space Jam. Let's go.
Honestly, the NBA All-Star game would be far more entertaining if they just played against Looney Tunes, you know?
You think?
Just like VR against Looney Tunes. You got to try to cross up Bugs Bunny. It's live, right?
Like
it's like VR, but he's actually trying to like get past the Tasmanian Devil.
So it's like the Nickelodeon cast that they do for the NFL games, but somehow a way where if you sit in the arena, you just put on a VR headset. The one thing I will say the NBA is doing pretty cool with the VR stuff. Have you seen the updated, like, if you have one of the VR headsets and it costs extra money for the subscription to it, but you really can sit at your house and be sitting courtside.
Yeah.
And I think the NBA is the only league that's really doing that right now fully. And that stuff looks like people have sent out the videos of it. It looks incredible. Now, it seems like a novelty, though. Am I going to sit there? Like, am I going to go home every Tuesday?
Strap a VR thing to my head.
Yeah, like every Tuesday.
For 3 hours.
Just sit in my living room inside, you know, virtual silence, but I just have this headset on just for 3 hours. That seems a little much, but it's a novelty thing that could be kind of cool. But thank you for the Space Jams. Text Line agrees. One of the best movie playlists ever.
100%.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Let's get into the Chiefs a little bit. Yesterday, Cody, we talked about Jeff Schwartz's comments in regards to taking a tackle at 31 and basically like why that doesn't make sense for this go around. And then Nick Jacobs over at 41, we'll give him credit. He did some research on why that is the case more so, right? You know, it seems obvious. Okay, you drafted a tackle last year in round two that clearly didn't develop as quick as you would have liked. You also only gave him 2 games to do it in the middle of a 3-peat campaign. So drafting one at 31 this year where you have a pick, well, that's probably a developmental guy too. So what are you doing? Like, it makes sense. It does. Why would you do that? Then you go and Nick Jacobs laid it out and look at some of the successful left tackles in the league
and where they were taken.
I mean, it's not rocket science. Ronnie Stanley, who's a free agent who everybody's saying maybe the Chiefs will go sign him. He was once a sixth overall pick. Broderick Jones for the Steelers, 14th overall. J.C. Latham, 7th overall. Garrett Bowles, 20th overall with the Broncos. Colton Miller, I'm not going to read every single one, but 15th overall.
They're all
top 15 picks, basically, except the Christian Darrisaw is the exception. He got hurt this year, but the exception, he was 23rd overall for the Vikings.
And a very good player until he got hurt. But, yeah. I mean, the standard is half of the league has a left tackle who was taken in essentially the top 15 picks, most in the top 10 in the NFL draft. Okay. So now we know that. Then it's like, all right, 3 teams got their guy via trade. Oh, 2 of the 3 of those guys were also taken in the top 13 of the draft. Okay, then you got like 8 teams that have a guy drafted outside the first round. Congratulations to you. You did it. Some of those teams, I will just tell you straight up, do not have good left tackle play. So I just want to note that real quick. They aren't in love with their left tackle, and you shouldn't be either. And then there's 5 teams who got him via free agency, including Drew Cincinnati's Bengals, whose offensive line is mediocre. 2 other guys who were taken high, and then like the Rams who got lucky and have an undrafted free agent. All this list tells me is that you are never going to solve left tackle unless you are willing to be bold. These are your choices. Either be bold in your decision-making and just like toughen up and make a stomach-churning decision to trade up into the top 15 of the draft, or trade an elite level pick for a good left tackle, or sign infinitely high contracts. And these almost never happen because 15 of those players are still on the original team that drafted him. Those are the only choices. Cause like Arod tried to put out their list, right? Of here are the solutions in left tackle. They said in-house it's DJ Humphries or Kingsley Suamataia. I know you guys talked about Kingsley yesterday. And Jeff Schwartz saying
that DJ Humphries really not even in-house, guys. He's a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even really in-house.
He was briefly in-house and is now a free agent. And I would point out that like of those guys I said are starting left tackles that were outside of the first round, 80% of those guys, and I looked this up, 80% of those guys did not start year one. So like they were not immediate left tackles. They eventually got the job through development. So that's the argument
for Kingsley. That was the Jeff Schwartz point yesterday that we got into when Logan was filling in. Cody, was the idea like in another franchise's year, 2024, Kingsley plays way more than 2 games. But in a year where the Chiefs were going for a three-peat, they did not have time to let Kingsley grow because they were going for the three-peat. And I think that's very true. And so that is not a normal circumstance for a tackle to jump into. And that's why it was honestly so stunning that there really wasn't a competition at training camp last year.
Kingsley
just
won the job.
He won it. And I agree that it has to be a bold decision to fix it, which is why, I think it's scary for a lot of people. I think there's a very good chance, unless you believe they're packaging multiple picks to get in the top 15, I don't believe they're finding their long-term answer at left tackle this offseason. The hope should be that they find a guy for 1 or 2 years that can give them an average or above average play. They don't have to get Hall of Fame level play out of a left tackle. We already went through that a couple weeks ago, talking about other, you know, Brady never had a
a franchise Hall of Fame left tackle. You don't have to have that, but you certainly can't have a revolving door. I think Ronnie Stanley was on this list of drafted guys, and then also we know he's a free agent. That is so risky, man. Like he finally had a healthy season. Finally. And he's in his 30s. That is a big risk. And is he wanting multiple years? Am I really giving a multi-year contract to somebody that hasn't stayed healthy throughout their career? This is why they're in a really tough spot to find the correct answer. And it's why the in-house candidate, which he's not really in-house, DJ Humphries, or yesterday I mentioned Juwan Taylor when he was first signed, we all thought he was the left tackle. He never got a single rep at left tackle. Like, those are plan C and D. But we know they've had to go to plan C and D at tackle numerous times, and that's what's scary, I think, for a lot of Chiefs fans right now, is I don't think there's a clear-cut, obvious guy to go target, because, you know, the trade that they made for Orlando Brown Jr. a couple years ago, does that player exist now? Is there a player that's unhappy that he's playing right tackle or left tackle and he doesn't like his team to the point where they're not going to pay him? Because you can mention the Jackson kid out at the Rams.
Yeah, because they're shipping out some payroll. Maybe they move on from Stafford. And
but he's already playing left tackle. Why would the Rams trade a top 15-ish left tackle to Kansas City?
Other than if they're planning on just getting rid of it, as in tackle, like restarting.
Whether it's Stafford or a rookie or a second, a young quarterback, you still need a left tackle.
No, I don't disagree with that. I mean, convincing a team to do that is a very, very difficult thing to do. And I would just say that's
because someone said just. Case. Text line said, just pay a left tackle. Fair.
Who?
that's the point. It's not Trent Williams is not, 28-year-old Trent Williams is not just hanging out in free agency like he was a couple, years ago, and then they missed on him.
By the way, I looked it up. The most tenured left tackle under Tom Brady was a 17th overall pick. Weird, right? I mean, look, this is just like, I understand. You're going to see 1,000 people who follow the Chiefs, and they're going to tell you about what it costs to move up to pick 17 to take a tackle in the draft. I understand the cost. All I'm telling you is, if you want a quality starting left tackle, it's actually the only choice. There's not some other conceivable angle that you can, like, miraculously develop a left tackle out of nothing. Like, where Kingsley was drafted, there are no successful left tackles essentially taken at his spot. There's like 5 in the entire NFL. They were developmental guys, so in his defense, give him a little bit more time, maybe he does develop in that way. All of them, almost all of them, such a huge majority, 2/3 or more, were all taken in the top 20 picks of the NFL draft because that's the only place that quality starting left tackles exist.
913-586-7965, Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Someone says, are you saying drafting a lineman year after year doesn't work? Well, left tackle, if you're in the Chiefs case and you're picking 28 to 32, the chances of you hitting on that left tackle, unless you're going to let them develop out. And I know the argument is, hey, Eric Fisher was a top pick in year 2 and 3, until year 3, everybody's like, this guy stinks.
And he was a right tackle in year 1.
And he turned out to be a pretty darn good left tackle for this franchise, obviously. So the challenge the Chiefs had with Kingsley is he didn't have time to develop. Now, he may just not have it, and that's what I think most people outside the organization think. He doesn't have it to be a left tackle. That's why I think he'll end up playing guard for this team, and so do you moving forward. Typically, if you're going to draft a left tackle at pick 28 to 32, even if you do it 5 straight years,
you're going to whiff probably all 5 times.
Decent chance.
Like, because again, there are like 5 or 6 guys that were taken in the 3rd round as starters. Half of them you actually don't want starting for your team, and the other half are fine, right? Like, so you can get there, right? Like, Orlando Brown Jr. was a 3rd round pick. He was a perfectly fine starting right tackle for a team. He started at left tackle for the Chiefs for a few years, and now, Drew, you follow the Bengals. He's what? A mediocre left tackle? He's not the worst. He's not like a turnstile.
Yeah, he's solid, yeah.
But he's not like...
Yeah, I remember though when the decision came to let him walk,
retrospect, they probably should have paid his ass.
No, but you go back and listen to the show. Everybody was trashing Orlando Brown Jr. And is it now hindsight? But I'm saying, like, even in that moment, we said, hey, don't be surprised if you remember actually like how decent a play you were still getting. It can, like, the thought was, hey, it can. I remember like the conversation we had. It can get worse, and it did. Now. You could say, well, they still won a Super Bowl without him. Also true. Donovan Smith gave them. Again, that's the level of play you're looking at. Donovan Smith was an average left tackle. That's truly all they need. Now, you don't want to strive just for average, but in this circumstance right this second, where they're already paying your right tackle, Juwan Taylor, the kind of money they're paying him, they're already paying Creed Humphrey, they're probably going to extend Joe Tooney. You can't pay everybody on the offensive line top-tier money. So, yeah, it wouldn't hurt to have it average left tackle play, and they didn't believe they were going to get average left tackle play last year from Kingsley or Wanye, and that's why they went out and tried to sign DJ Humphreys.
Admittedly, this might not be the draft for it, so I'm not just saying just do it to do it, right? That's never the way you should operate in a business sense or if you're in the Chiefs sense. Maybe you buy yourself a year with DJ Humphreys because you tell yourself next year's the left tackle draft. But at some point, I think you just have to be willing to give up this year's first-round pick and the following year's first-round pick to go get your guy. And you have to be willing to make that sacrifice if you actually want high-level left tackle play. The good news is for you is if you get that, you can keep them for a decade. You don't. This is what I under. This is why, like, I think the risk assessment is wrong from Chiefs fans sometimes, or what the Chiefs have done internally in house. Because I told you, we've looked up their last 10 drafts. They have not taken the highest left tackle they have taken in the draft in the last decade is Kingsley Suamataia, pick 63. That is the highest they have taken one. And the risk assessment should not be, wow, look at all these picks I got to give up from this year or next year and how much I'm selling my future down the road. It's that if you get this right, you trade up to 15, you find your guy, then you're good for a decade. You don't have to do this again for the rest of Patrick Mahomes' career. You can keep taking third round guys or fourth round guys and see if they develop and take your sweet ass time or see if they go to guard or tackle or replace you. You can do all that and you can do it freely and easily. But you have to just get the guy first so you can stop doing this.
I know we're all trying to come up with ideas and trying to figure out how to piece this offensive line together. Someone says, is there any chance they move Tooney to left tackle permanently, pay him what he deserves, and then start Kingsley left guard?
Super Bowl.
No, we just saw that, we just saw that play out, man. Like, I understand Caliendo was the guard, and you're saying Kingsley. No, there's no scenario where Joe
I didn't think
Tooney,
it was going to happen anyway, but definitely not after that game.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Tooney is a left guard, and to his credit, he gave them everything he had for five games or whatever it ended up being. Yeah. And for four of them, no problem. Until it was a problem in the fifth or whatever game number it would have been. Joe Tooney, the extension is going to be tricky even on him. Like how they pull that one off. Because you're going to have to give him an extension. He's not 29 years old. He's getting up there in age as well. So there's some decisions to be made. But as we mentioned yesterday, the salary cap, there's some flexibility, restructure opportunities. Like if they want to go give Tooney the extension and also pay some other guys, they can do it. There's not an obvious free agent left tackle. And I guess Jackson in LA is actually an unrestricted free agent or whatever. But I think, again, same thing applies. I don't know if the Rams will
let him
truly reach the free market.
We'll see. Maybe that is an option for you. I certainly think it's plausible they go that way. You can buy yourself time, but eventually you're just going to have to trade up to the top 15 picks. As you know, Royals baseball on the air today at 2 right here on 96.5 The Fan. For those asking, will we be done at 1? No, they do not do pregame for spring training games. We will be here until 2 o'clock. Mackenzie Nelson will join us for a fan club. We'll have some cocktails, have a good time for that hour leading up to the Royals game. But, I want less booth reviews. I want less people standing at a scores table in college basketball. I think they should just eliminate that type of review in college basketball altogether. Just straight up, get rid of it to improve the sport and to save the sport, in my opinion. But I do not feel that way about robot umps, which brings me great joy to see yesterday the Major League Baseball announced they'll be using robot umps in a test case in spring training games this year. I do not think they'll be ready for game one of the regular season this year.
It won't be. Like, that's already 2026 is the earliest. Yeah.
But the idea that they're using it for spring training games, and I saw it yesterday, and a guy tapped his helmet, and it was a ball that was called a strike, and he gets to get the count changed. It's the easiest thing on the planet. It will take zero time, zero effort, no additional time off the game. The umpire just gets checked every once in a while when he misses a call so bad it doesn't deserve to be missed. This seems like the easiest decision.
It's happening. It's happening. It will be in baseball next year. It'll be in baseball next year, and it's so quick. That's why it works. Is that you barely even know. Yesterday there was a spring training game on TV. Cubs Yankees somebody. Or whatever, and you barely even recognize that the challenge was happening. That's how quickly they resolved it. And they've been testing this in the minors. So that'll be another storyline to watch throughout spring. But I asked Vern about this yesterday, and he said they talked to Q about this. And he said they're not going to really focus in on that, like in how to handle strategically this spring training, because they know that
come the start of this season, it's not even in their arsenal, which makes sense, right? You don't, if you're a team this year, you don't need to really be focusing, like telling your players, hey, be careful of how you use it in strategy.
You cut that next year.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about this year. Or, you
use
know,
it as much as you want in a spring training game.
But I do like it. I absolutely like it because of how quick it is. And you get
Hawkeye. It's tennis.
And there's some strategy, too. You know, do you burn it in the first inning? You know, is there a player that is frustrated? He's in the middle of an 0-for-15 slump, and he's like, I can't strike out again. And so he uses
the
challenge.
First strike out on the next
there's a
pitch.
Lot there, man, that's kind of unique too, that we haven't seen. But it's more of a next year thing. But in, I think it's 19 of the teams between the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League, I think only 19 teams, some share stadiums. So I guess it's more, but they'll be testing. It won't necessarily be every single spring training game, but a majority of
them. What exactly is the rule around it? Is it each individual player gets a challenge? Is it team gets a certain amount of challenges?
You cannot get any help from your dugout.
Correct.
During that 2 seconds.
They can't tell you, we think that thing's outside. You got to make a quick game time decision.
But I know, but I'm saying, does each individual player have their own challenge that they can use throughout the game, or
yes,
is it a set number of challenge?
I believe it's each player, right? Cody, isn't that right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be that. Well, they might, you know how it is. They could change it to where it's a certain number. Like, they've got it set up in spring for team challenges, so they have the ability to challenge 2 calls per game.
Okay, well, then I think that's what it is.
For extra innings.
There you go.
There's some talk that they might still finagle that or whatever it is. Like the obvious,
every player might be.
I think
a little
each
much.
Individual player having one makes sense just because of how
I kind of like that because of how quick it is. But like also, like for that same argument, because the team stuff, a pitcher can also challenge it. So you give every pitcher who comes in the game. That's what you do by team, right? You throw what you think is strike 3 with the bases loaded and 2 outs. That one's worth it for me. This is high leverage. Every single challenge you do, if you are down, if it's a 3-2 count with nobody on, in a 3-run and in a 1-run game in the second inning, you better not be wasting our team challenge. I can tell you that right now. But if it's the second inning and it's bases loaded and it's 2 outs and you think you struck that dude out, get the out.
The only
worth it for you.
Only downside, I mentioned this, and it would take you specific circumstances, just making something a little anticlimactic where it's a key strikeout to get out of an inning or to end the game, and you're like, and you normally would celebrate, but you're like, oh, hold
this
on.
This happens in college basketball and the buzzer.
And I know it's like, a quick 2-second challenge versus a 3-minute wait in college basketball. But that would be my only thing is like, oh, does it take away? Like, you just had a huge punch out to end the game, and you're like, we got to sit for like 5. Oh, now we can celebrate. That's the only thing. I don't know if it'll happen very often, but that'd be my only concern.
Let's just agree that it can't happen. They should just make a rule. It can't happen on the final pitch. Sorry.
Well, why would you want to make sure that's the might be the biggest pitch to the game?
I
want
to. I don't care. That would be crazy.
But overall, Major League Baseball said that in the minors they use this, where calls challenged by players were overturned 51% of the time.
Yeah, so they're wrong about half the time. Well, the players are wrong half the time, but that means the umpires are also wrong half the time. Look, I told you I want less and less review. This is not review to me. This is just quick automated decision making. Like, I was watching that Missouri Alabama game like everyone else because I wasn't sure whether or not I was coming in for the show at the time. And they have to get rid of table reviews. Like, I mean, they need to eliminate it from the sport, or no one is going to want to watch college basketball in 10 years. It's nuts. It eats up an impossible amount of your life watching 2 refs stand over with headphones on talking about this stuff. This is tapping your helmet. And they tell you whether it's a ball or a strike, and we all move on with our life. It's the simplest. This is what I think I envisioned replay being when they first talked about replay. Just snap judgment. Here it is. Boom, decision made.
But you know the difference.
You're not letting human minds.
But the difference too, like compared to the NFL, like in baseball, there is an actual strike zone dimensions, and so it's very easy with the technology.
Versus a catch,
with the technology, they can simply see, was it in or out of the zone quick. Whereas, football, a catch, there isn't like this.
Yeah.
Algorithm to determine like everything that's a catch without you
college basketball. They don't limit it. I don't need you standing over there for 45 seconds seeing if it graze someone's fingertip.
Yeah, 100%.
And a lot of times we know the answer to the call before they even go over to the table because of replay. That's for having like the sky judge or whatever you want to call it.
I don't even need a sky judge. Just gut decision. Whatever you said on the court. Ah, it's off on Duke. Okay, fine. It's off on Duke.
Let's
move on.
Real quick to not deviate too far. There was Cody, a college basketball game in which the last 4 minutes of the game took a half hour.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Sounds like a lot of Big Monday, Big 12 games.
Yeah. It was actually a Big 10 game.
The first one
was Big 10.
It's usually the first game goal, so the second one can start like 45 minutes later than originally thought.
That's right.
Classic college
tip for March Madness is going to be 10:50 Eastern time instead of 9:20 because instead of 10 because
it's gotten out of control. Like, I know that they want to get the calls right or whatever, but this is where, like, in baseball, it's simplified, and I like it.
One rule, though, that is no longer in Major League Baseball, perhaps the worst rule in the sport by a franchise, the New York Yankees today
worst rule in the sport.
Decided to get rid of their dumb facial hair policy. They were the only team in sports, not just sports, that said, you got to be clean-shaven. You can have a stash, no beard and all that.
A good
it's done.
Stash.
It's 2025. What do we do? Like, what? Acting like, well, you gotta be clean. The only thing with this is, will they revert back? You know, Steinbrenner's family, you know, they're on a 7-game losing streak. Back to having to shave. You're
beards.
Not disciplined enough because you're not shaving. Like,
oh my,
I wonder, like, there's some players that I'm not saying if the money was right, you're not going to sign with the Yankees because you can't shave if they're going to give you the most money, but got to be annoying as hell if you're someone that, like, you have facial, like Juan Soto or somebody, you know, last year.
Do you think that they're convinced that, like, they didn't get a player because of this?
Justin Turner is not going to the Yankees.
That's why
he went to the Red Sox, I think, correct?
Like, that they can't get, but, you know, Johnny Damon looked like unfrozen caveman outfielder and then shaved his beard to go to the Yankees.
Matt Carpenter, when he went from the Cardinals to the Yankees, he still had the stash a couple years ago, but it was weird to see him with only the stash.
I mean, does this rule in any way impact the integrity of the team or the sport? No. Do I kind of like weirdo rules in sports that existed for a sport that's like 100 years old and they're just like, for 150 years, they're like, nah, no beards. And you're like, doesn't really make any sense. You're like, no beards. I kind of like the weirdness part of it. It's a dumb rule that doesn't actually have any impact on whether or not they're good Yankees or do a good job because they're clean shaven, but I didn't care, I guess.
It's just a dumb rule. Someone says, some people want to look presentable for your job. They're also playing baseball. They're not CEOs of a Fortune 500 company, okay? Like, they're playing baseball.
Well, and, people,
like, and then they say, he said, you three shave damn near daily. I do not, thank goodness. We've joked about Cody. He definitely doesn't.
I don't shave daily. I don't shave. I shave at least weekly.
Yeah.
I usually shave about twice a week.
I have not shaved in maybe 2.5 or 3 weeks, and this is all I got right here.
Is there somebody on this show worse at growing a beard than me?
I am really bad.
That's 3 weeks.
I
shaved 2 days ago.
This is like 4 days.
I couldn't tell you, but I would guess it's been at least 2 weeks since I actually shaved. And this is all I got. Yeah.
Maybe the Yankees will win a World Series finally again. Now that they don't have.
I would have no problem playing for the Yankees.
Royals have still won a World Series more recently than the Yankees, does bring me joy. Every year that happens, it does bring me a little joy.
Of course.
Because
that rule's done. The Yankees announced it today.
Man, end of an era, you know?
Really
it's gonna
is.
Be, it is. I'll be honest. It is going to be a little weird to see a Yankees player with a beard. And like,
it just opens the market
up a little
bit more.
Are they going to put the names on the back of the jerseys too?
That one, I get why they don't do it. That's fine. That's
really why? What's the difference? No. It's the same thing as the beard. It's just tradition.
Because one is forcing somebody to have a certain grooming habit, their own body. The other one is a jersey.
But now they don't have their name on the back of the jersey. No, it doesn't say Judge on the back, you know?
Yeah, sure. Have their name. But that's just a jersey. You're not telling someone how to, like, literally treat themselves, their body.
You know who number 99 is on the Yankees, though?
Of course.
But I'm just, you know, like, I bet there's a lot of people who would like to have their name on the back of a Major League jersey.
Yeah, I bet.
And the Yankees are not giving them that choice. It's the same thing. They're taking away personal freedom.
Oh, I think it's not even close to the same thing. telling you how you can literally, you know, basically handle your body is not the same as whether your jersey has a number on it or not. That's all.
They're never changing that one.
No, it is what it is.
I figured they were never changing this beard.
Same. All right.
It's 2025.
Up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour. Charles Omenihu was on a national show yesterday, had some comments about maybe free agency as well as how he handled the big game and the big loss. Next.